My friends, I really appreciate when our colleagues from the other side of the aisle come on the show, because it doesn't happen that often. One who's always willing to come on and have the debate, no matter if he's right, if he's wrong, if he thinks he's right and I think he's wrong, no matter what the case may be, he's always willing to have the conversation. And that is Senator Joe Wynn, who's the chair of the Senate Environment, Energy and Technology, and he represents the 34th Legislative District, which means white center. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to see you, or good to hear from you.
So overall, how do the Democrats feel how this session went? I mean, a few things that you guys wanted didn't really go through. It looks like the Republicans stopped a bunch of stuff. Overall, do you think it was a win or a loss?
Well, first off, I'll say overall, it was a great session for the people of Washington State. I think we had a budget that was balanced over the 4 years. We had some tremendous policies that were passed. There are no years where every single bill passes, which is probably candidly a good thing as well. And what you'll find is that most of them were actually bipartisan. So even on the climate-related endeavors, there were a number of bills in that space that were bipartisan. And I think that's kind of what you ask for, is come out with some good policies, with things that are thoughtfully done, and hopefully the implementation goes well as well.
I couldn't agree more. There's something that really dominated, at least on the conservative side of the aisle, the headlines regarding this session, was the six Let's Go Washington initiatives. One of them, Initiative 2113, was about reforming police pursuits. Even though a whole bunch of people signed this initiative, you voted no on it. Can you explain why?
Yeah. Well, I'm from Seattle. So what's interesting is that the policies within that actually were not at the same standards that what Seattle is already doing. So for me personally, I think that was largely a symbolic gesture, in the sense of that initiative doesn't materially change the outcomes that we already have in the jurisdictions that I represent. And for me personally, it's wanting to understand kind of how we can best utilize these policies to address public safety. And in this case, Seattle actually had a more robust mechanism in place. And I thought that that was kind of counter to what our law enforcement officials were actually already doing. So, you know, it was going to pass, and I think that's fine. But I wanted to make sure that folks understood that that policy, you know, wasn't necessarily valid in many places just because we're already doing those things already. But not even over there.
What policy does Seattle have in place? Because I've spoken to Seattle police officers, and they're convinced they can't pursue suspects. So what policy did Seattle have in place?
Well, they can, obviously, for the certain parameters that we had in place. I would think most of the jurisdictions that were already in Washington State, the larger ones, look at Redmond, Bellevue, Seattle, all the places like that, this is already the policies that they have. So this doesn't actually functionally change much of what they were doing. It's largely a kind of a symbolic gesture. So for me, I wanted to make sure that folks understood that there was a balance between giving the law enforcement officials the tool that they need to be successful as they're pursuing criminal activity. But also, you know, we do have to acknowledge that this is not a perfect system. People have been harmed by it. And I wanted to send a message to those who are paying attention as well that, you know, we're still working through this. This is public safety issue. It's not just one bill or one initiative. It's an ongoing debate that we're going to have to ensure that we get it right.
Do you acknowledge that after this passed in 2021 originally, that stolen cars went through the roof, that there's been people who died because of it, and that crime went up dramatically, especially crash and grabs?
Well, I think there are multiple rationale associated with this. If it was just this policy that caused those things, I don't think that that's necessarily the case. That dynamic did happen. It happened across the nation as well. And what's interesting is that you actually saw that happen in more conservative area states where you saw issues also arise. So that wasn't unique to just Washington State. Other jurisdictions that had no policies also saw that happen. So for me, the one rationale that I had for that was that we stopped funding the auto theft account previously, before this legislature even happened. So when we passed this bill, I actually sat down with our prosecutors in King County to help understand why we're seeing this dynamic happen, agnostic of this bill, because this trend was already happening before the bill. And part of it is that we stopped funding the auto theft account, and then there was less resources put towards actually prevention. So part of what we did, in addition to the policies, was actually putting money towards that account, working with our law enforcement officials to make sure that they have the resources. And then, you know, you see some extreme cases as well where a handful of individuals are really driving the majority of them. And if we're able to have a line of sight on those folks, I think that really is what the main driver was.
Switching gears over to one of the other initiatives, we're talking about Initiative 2111, which is concerning taxes on personal income. Democrats talk all the time about how Washington's unaffordable. I can say as a King County homeowner is that my taxes have grown exponentially and the capital gains tax is killing me because I have real estate family holdings. And this stuff is very, very painful for a lot of people. So why would you vote no against a state income tax?
Well, what's funny is that real estate was exempt from it, so I don't think it should impact your portfolio unless it's something else. And also, less than 4,000 people were subject to this in Washington State. Washington State is highly regressive in terms of our taxation, which is why people feel the pain around property taxes, because we don't have many other options. So the fact that less than 4,000 people were paying into this, and candidly, you know, the amount it raised goes towards childcare, early learning, education for our kids, really setting ourselves up for success in the future. I think this is one of the most progressive ways that we can actually have the resources we need to support our children without putting that burden on low-income individuals. So if you have real estate holdings, that's exempt. This is largely around other things. And candidly, most of it is actually in King County, where folks are more open to these concepts. So most of the money was raised from wealthy individuals in King County, and that then goes to the rest of the state to help our schools, which need a lot of funding, especially in central and eastern Washington as well. So, you know, when you talk about, you know, a fair system, this is better than most.
What happens when people like Jeff Bezos move out of town, taking their holdings with them, and those 4,000 people start leaving because things like this are going to tax them? And the fact that the Supreme Court left the door open to this actually being an income tax for everybody.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's necessarily the case. But what I'll say is that the people in Washington State love it here because of the clean air, the clean water, the business climate that we have, the economies that we have, the fact that we're nation leading when it comes to so many different things around technology, around energy, around our higher education institutions. There are a number of factors of why folks and businesses want to be here in Washington State. And a large function of that is our workforce. The people here are highly educated, highly motivated, and fantastic individuals, right? So when we work on a budget as a state, you have to take into consideration everything that is happening, and all the considerations are being made. That was one of the efforts. I think, you know, we see polls after polls where everybody wants more affordability, everybody wants more access to education, healthcare, and all that stuff, but nobody wants to pay for it, right? So we have to balance that budget somehow to ensure that we have these resources to really set up Washington State. And if, you know, if we have one individual where his only goal was to basically reap all the profits and then leave, I mean, we're not going to be able to stop him. But I would say the vast majority of folks are here because they're committed to this community.
Switching gears to something you mentioned before is the climate. And we have the Climate Commitment Act, where now there's initiative to repeal that because it spiked gas prices. Now we've had a whistleblower come forward to say that he definitely informed the necessary agencies and he was in favor of this tax and saying, just be honest about it. And now he's suing because he thinks he was unjustly fired for airing that. You have said before, no, this wasn't going to happen. And I'm wondering if you've changed your perspective on this.
Whoa, that's not true. What I said was, it will have an impact on gas prices. You can review the tape. I said the amount is up to debate, right? Because even on that show that we had a few months ago, we had talked about the range in which somebody thought that it might be, right? And at that point, gas prices were at $5. Some of the folks in the oil community said it was about 20 cents was the impact. Well, that leaves another $4.80. Where does that go? So I've always said that there's going to be an impact on fuel. It's a matter of how much and how that's mitigated. But what I will say is that we're being impacted right now by extreme weather. We're impacted by pollution. We're impacted by wildfires. We're impacted by droughts. We're impacted by, you know, our crops having a harder time bearing fruit and stuff like that as well. So it's already costing us money as a state to deal with the effects of climate change. This gives us a just, more market-based solution in order to mitigate the harms that are being held because of climate change. And candidly, it's kind of agnostic of even climate change. It really gives us a leg up when it comes to a new economy in the clean energy space. We've been able to get investments and resources and federal funding for things here in Washington State because of the Climate Commitment Act. For every dollar that we've been able to raise and spend because of the Climate Commitment Act, we've basically been able to get $5 or $6 back in the tune of federal grants. So, you know, this is good for addressing climate change, lowering pollution, decarbonizing. It's also good for business because we're seeing people come in and play in Washington State that necessarily wouldn't be here otherwise.
But even King 5, which is not usually an outlet I cite, is upset that Governor Jay Inslee isn't meeting his climate goals and hasn't met most of them. So, great, we got all this money coming in for all these projects, but it doesn't seem to be having an impact.
Oh, I actually do think that it's having an impact, and that's the whole point of having goals is setting benchmarks and targets for yourself. What I will say, I spent the last year meeting with a lot of folks. So there's only about 200 companies that are covered by the CCA. So those are the top polluters, 25 million metric tons, you know, stuff like that. What I would say is most of the times when I'm speaking to these individuals or these companies, they didn't actually have a plan to decarbonize. They had no clue in terms of how they're going to transition. Obviously, everybody's a little bit different, but the fact that we have this in play now, we've been able to help a number of them figure out that transition, help them resource what that can look like, ensure that there's a just transition. Most of the money from the CCA actually goes towards utility assistance and ratepayer assistance as well. This last budget, we actually put money towards ag fuel exemptions because the farmers were unfairly charged a surcharge, which they shouldn't have. So we put money towards kind of making them whole. So most of the funding from this ensures that we are able to transition to a cleaner economy because we know we have to, and it does cost money to do it. And it does it in a way that I think it's more just as well.
Is it more just when people may have to spend a ton of money retrofitting their houses if gas goes away?
First off, people can choose how they want to have energy in their home. People are already choosing to use electricity because it's cheaper, it's cleaner. What's funny, I actually do have a gas stove. And ever since I read about how homes with gas stove causes a higher rate of asthma, which I had growing up, I had no idea. I put an air quality monitor next to my gas stove at home just to make sure my kids were safe. And and every single time that we turn it on and we use it, that thing goes off. So I do know that that is actually not great for our kids. And their healthcare costs are also going to be expensive. So we'll eventually transition. But that's why we put money towards energy rebates. We put money towards electrification of homes as well. And we're going to make sure that people have access to the tools they need to decarbonize in a thoughtful way. If we didn't do anything, you would actually have kind of this death spiral where as folks choose to migrate off of gas systems because they want to, the people who are still on that gas system are going to have to pay more. So by us being able to thoughtfully plan for this, this actually helps both of the business community, the ratepayers themselves, and the folks who want to have cleaner air.
Senator Joe Wynn, I wish we had more time because I would love to go back and forth with you for an hour or 2 hours, but I appreciate you joining us today. And I appreciate that even when we disagree, you are always willing to have the conversation. And I really do appreciate that. It does mean a lot.
No, good talking. You will do this again.
All right. Senator Joe Wynn, 34th Legislative District, encompassing White Center. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.